Hi, guys. I'm Katie Lowes, actress, mom, and host of the parenting podcast, Katie's Crib, a show that helps women navigate the colossal changes that come with motherhood. You'll hear from resilient mamas, knowledgeable experts, and me asking a whole lot of questions. It's real talk that offers real perspective on what it's really like to be a parent. New episodes publish every other Thursday. Listen to Katie's Crib on the iHeartRadio app or on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode was pre-recorded in the first month of Shelter in Place.
Hi, y'all. I'm Julie.
Hi there. I'm Brenda. Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Now, y'all need to know that we're obsessed with everything on the other side.
Yes, we are. Because once you learn to navigate the energetic, or to some, the invisible world, life is going to be more fun and much more serene.
Heck yes, it can. Because let's be honest, Bryn, Earth School is hard. In fact, you taught me that.
Let's crush Earth School together.
Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side, a production of iHeartRadio.
Greetings, my witchy poo. How are you today?
I'm doing great, my elf. How about you?
I'm doing fabulous. So I don't think our viewers know this, or viewers, that's funny. They're actually listeners, but because I'm viewing something, I called everybody viewers. So our listeners don't know this, but we're not recording in Atlanta these days, Avi. But we do it over Zoom. And so my backdrop for Zoom is space. So when I look up at the screen, I see my head bobbing around in space. And it makes me giggle every time I look at it. Then I look at you, and yours is practically space, although yours is a little different, but it's not a backdrop. It's your real backdrop. It's the backdrop you live in. But today, guess what today is?
What's today?
It's we're going to answer listeners' questions day.
We love answering their questions.
I know we do.
We're here to serve. So we want to know what they want to know about.
Okay. So if you're really here to serve, why haven't you served me pie? Because it's bullshit. I always say we're here to serve, but I never get served.
Where's my pie?
Where's my pie? I actually have four. I'm going to tell the truth. I have four frozen cherry pies in our freezer right now. Somebody's been eating your feelings. Her name might be Julie.
I'm glad that you are well served.
Well, since you won't do it, I got to serve my damn self.
You are insane.
I know. I am. Each word is true, I'm afraid.
Well, totally self-awareness true. Is the yeah, first step.
It is. And so with that first step, we're going to get on to our first question.
Okay, bring it.
I will bring it. So we have a number of healthcare workers that are also listeners of the show. And before we go on, I just want all of them to know how incredibly grateful that we are, that you are who you are, and that you're doing all this. They are for sure they're heroes. And so I just wanted to say that. And not to make it sound like you just made a poster board about it, but if I could, I would make a really groovy poster board for all of our healthcare workers. I do have a neighbor that's a doctor, and I tell him I appreciate him all the time. So one of our healthcare worker listeners reached out to me on LinkedIn. So everybody's also invited to reach out on LinkedIn if you don't want to bother with an Instagram account. But she reached out and expressed how upsetting it is for her that families have to say goodbye to their loved ones over FaceTime. And she worries that, you know, these COVID patients are dying alone.
This is such a big concern for people. And it's something that's so hard. Obviously, it's hard on the families. It's hard on the healthcare workers who are used to offering their most compassionate self and creating sacred space for people at the end of their lives, right? This is something that if you've been in the healthcare system and had extraordinary care, as many of us have had, then they create positive experiences at the very end of life, and they're not able to do any of that. And what I want people to consider and to really know in the depths of their being that everyone dies alone. And by that, I mean, if you are holding vigil with someone who is in the transition process, you can only hold that space for them so long. And when it comes to dropping the body and moving through that sacred threshold known as death or jumping the planet or passing into the next realm, no one goes with them. So they have to do this work alone. Even though you are separated by space, you are not separated by heart connections. So you can go home and tell stories and gather on FaceTime or Zoom or whatever with other loved ones and tell stories and share those sorrows and that sadness and, you know, hold that space energetically and hold their picture, hold their, you know, a clothing item or something that they gave you, and hold it energetically as though you're offering them so many blessings of healing in the multidimensional realms. Sing songs, say prayers that will help them find their own way. You don't have to be physically connected to them, because this final transition into the next realm is energetic. It is not physical. Their physical being stays here. And so I really want people to be comforted by this, to be empowered to create a new ritual for passing, and to drop the guilt and the sorrow that you are used to being comforted by being in the presence of.
And anger.
And anger and frustration and resentment, all that, because it's all real. But the self-flogging piece, I couldn't be with them, it's so hard, and they're dying alone, and it's so hard. This part is always done alone. It's always done alone. So give yourself the hall pass. It's new to wrap your brain around, but it's also so true. And so we have to be able to embrace this actual truth that everyone dies alone, ultimately.
Yeah, I think that people hold a lot of guilt, like you said, about it when we envision that moment, right? Especially when someone's sick. Yeah, you know, so you have a lot of people with family and friends that are in urgent care, ICUs right now on respirators or whatever they're dealing with. And even if it's not by COVID-19, whatever the situation may be, and you see yourself like, I'm going to be there with them when they cross over. You know, I'm going to be there with them when they take their last breath. They think that something magical is going to happen. And sometimes it has in the past, like sometimes something has been uttered out of someone's mouth that, you know, allows some forgiveness for some, whatever it may be. But the reality is, and we've talked about this on another show, is that our relationships never end.
Right.
So just because you're not there for that one, because you're actually taking care of yourself by not being there.
Right.
That it's okay.
It has to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let it be okay. Let it be okay.
Thank you. That was a beautiful explanation for it. I did actually write her back. I gave her not as eloquent as one that you just did. So hopefully she'll listen and she'll get a much, much better answer than what I gave her.
Well, and the other thing I just want to say, because also with funerals, like we're not able to gather for funerals or weddings, these things that we have 100 people or, you know, whatever, 50 people for, things like that. Don't underestimate, hey, we're all going to send you a blessing at 10 o'clock when you're down at the Justice of the Peace, or when you've got your 10 people at your funeral that you can have, but we're still going to hold that space and energetically connect and offer prayers, or I'll, you know, log into the same YouTube channel and watch the same slideshow of people. Like there's a ways that we can connect energetically to still hold that space and be healed collectively, even if it's not physically together, that we can get creative.
Love and energy has no bounds.
Exactly.
So
don't
everybody's
limit it
got
to,
this.
Yeah, yeah, so don't limit it to the physical component. And we get really tied into that. And some people are super angry about it. And I understand being frustrated, but until we find a way to dance with the virus on this planet and with greater harmony and vibrancy and being able to stay healthy, we're going to have to settle in and be okay with it.
And I thought this was a really great question too, that came from such a heart-led healthcare worker, right? Like this is what she wanted to ask about. Out of everything that she's dealing with, she is concerned for the people and for the families, because in a month, you know, we lost, I think, roughly 50,000.
It's the 60,000.
It's we're 60. And it's sadly going to keep going up. And that so there are 50, 60, 70, 80, not however many. And that's just in this country. Like, let's not forget what, you know, what has happened in China or in Italy or Spain or the UK.
And we know
Germany.
That it's all undercounted because we don't have enough tests.
Right.
Anyhow.
And all of those, they all have families.
They
friends.
All have people
they
who are
They all
grieving.
Have a circle, right?
Lives who are shattered.
Right. So I think that was such a beautiful question. So thank you, Brenna, for handling that so beautifully. So we have
Absolutely.
Another question.
And we are going to take a break before our next question.
Damn it. Oh, you always do this to me.
You're welcome.
And we are back. So we are taking, these are your questions. So this is our Insider's Insight.
Thank you for sending us questions.
Oh my God, thank you guys so much. This is so awesome. And you're so engaged with us and we so love it. So we have another one. And this question was actually asked to you, Brenda. So I'm going to do my best about asking it back to you. But if for any reason I get it wrong, you can correct my question. It's actually for you. So we were asked about the relationship or the causation between premonitions and manifestation. Go. I have no freaking idea what they're asking. So you obviously do. So
I don't know, but I assume what the person was asking. And y'all, if this is your question, let me know. Okay. But it's saying, how much of it are we manifesting by what we see or what we want to see? Like a premonition is, hey, we saw this, but are we manifesting it because we saw it in the etheric field? And I think that's what the question is. Does that make sense?
For me, it makes total sense.
Okay, great.
I've often wondered that myself.
Okay, well, there you go.
Maybe I asked it and I didn't know
I asked
it.
Did you send this in?
I might have. I might have sent it in from, you know, the astral plane.
The astral plane. Different episode. But so this is such a great question. And my understanding and my experience is that just because you see something doesn't mean that you've created it. That chances are it is something that possibly exists on the astral plane or the etheric plane, and you picked it up, but it may not have taken full form. And it's sometimes like this, something that comes in, like you can feel it. You're like, ooh, I can feel something new's coming in, and I don't know what it is, but I'm keeping my eyes peeled, and I'm looking here, and I'm looking there, and I'm totally open, and I can't wait. Like there's an anticipation every time you check your social or go to your, you know, text messages or whatever, however people are engaged with you, like something new is coming in, you can feel it. And for me, sometimes I can feel like when a new client's coming in or a new project's coming in, like I start getting excited, like, oh, I can't wait to see, like I'll have a new playground and it's going to be great. Or people can feel like a new relationship coming in or a new date. So again, just because you sense it, you can sense it in the etheric field, you can sense it in the energetic field, but that doesn't mean that you created it. You may have set your intentions and maybe it's on your vision board, but that's probably why you can see it. Now, having said that, there are sometimes things that you sense or see in your dream state, in your meditation, in the energetic field that are things you don't want to see. Sometimes it's a plane crash, something, you know, that would have a big energetic impact that you pick up on because of its big energy. Now, that's not something that would be on your vision board or something that you're looking for, but it has that big energetic impact. So again, you pick up on it, and there's something in the hardwiring, in the nervous system hardwiring, that wants to keep you safe. So you'll notice it, but that doesn't mean that, again, that you're creating it. Does that make sense?
Oh, God, that's so good, because I'm like rolling all this stuff around in my head as I listen to your answer to that question. And it's funny because there's this, again, you know, I think the world puts, like, I get the freak show in my life just so I can experience everyone. I do. And I'm part of the freak show. So don't get me wrong. So if any of my freaks are listening, just know that I love you and I'm one of you. But one of them is this woman that she's in LA. Probably LA, because LA is a freak show in all the best ways. But she was telling me about her premonitions, and she actually keeps a journal of them. And they are events that actually happen.
That's so smart.
Events that happen. She saw earthquakes.
Yep.
Fires, like all the, she's a very disaster-y premonitioner. That's a new word.
Is she a prepper?
I don't think she's a prepper. She should be though with all the crap.
Yeah, I would think so.
I wonder if she saw this, the virus. Yeah, I wonder. And it scares her. Like it really scares her. And I think she also gets concerned. She's like, I feel like I should tell people to warn them, but then they're going to think that I'm a freak show. I'm like, oh, because you are.
What I love about her documenting it, it's really affirming and empowering. I personally have never done it, but it's so smart to do. So let me
she's
just
literally
say
keeping
that.
Track. I so mean, it's, she's keeping
I
track
I had
of it.
That with Katie, with Kate Flannery, when we lived in Chicago, because she would come home, you know, she was a performer, an actress and performer and comedian, and so she would keep later hours, and I kept business hours. So she would come home in the middle of my night, and I would be restless or waking up, sometimes having nightmares, and she'd be like, hey, are you okay? And I'm like, oh my God, I just had a terrible dream. And so she was kind of my recorder, you know, and she'd be like, Brian, you dreamt that 3 days ago, or you dreamt that 2 days ago. You told me about it. I'm like, I did? You know, like, I had no idea. But she was wide awake, so she kept track of it. I just would go back to sleep. It was really powerful for me to have that as a gift.
So wait, Kate Flannery from The Office was your secretary. That's the story you just told.
She took my notes for me.
Yeah. Katie was your secretary. I'm so awesome. Going to give her shit about that. Okay, that's fantastic. That's great, though.
It was great. I didn't know it was really empowering. So if you are someone who has these, and they're usually little whispers in the corners of your minds, and they don't have to be earthquakes and plane crashes. It could be like, oh, you know, there's something like I should call my friend Julie, you know, or whatever.
I'll be honest with you, though, when I get on an airplane, before I get on, I always ask, is it safe to get on this plane? Every single time I go on.
I do too. Sometimes literally on the, what do they call it? The jetway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, for sure on the jetway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I will walk off. If I ever got a big hit on something, I'd be like, see ya. I wouldn't get on. I do that also in my car.
I only did that once, just so you know.
You turned around and got off a flight? Mm-hmm. Did anything happen on the flight?
I actually don't remember.
I wonder if you were going to
sit. I just took the next flight.
I wonder if you're going to sit by like a jackass or something. Maybe they were saving you from like getting your energy sucked by like some vampire.
Possible.
Yeah, totally. Because they wouldn't send you off a plane for shits and giggles. They would send me off for shits and giggles because they want to watch me spin and see what I make up from the whole thing. And if I write like a movie about it or a book, but or an episode. But no, they are serious about you, about protecting your ass. that's a great explanation, though. Thank you. That actually helped me understand things better. Yeah.
And again, I think for a lot of our sensitive audience members, which most of our audience, which is awesome, right? It's our people, our tribe.
Right, our people, our tribe.
And so what happens is that, again, when you're super sensitive, you pick up on a lot of things. And then when it shows up in front of your face, in good ways or bad, you're like, hey, I did that. That's great. And sometimes you did and sometimes you didn't.
We are human after all.
We are human. Like sometimes
we're still human.
If it's a global impact, like someone said, oh, I just manifested this thing and it's my birthday and I just got this great thing in the mail. I'm like, that's great. You probably created that because that came, you know, that you definitely, you know, because it's more personal, but on the global things.
See, I think I'm a total manifester of people reaching out to me. It's very funny. Like I will think about someone and within 24 hours, email, text, something. So even last night, I get a text from Stacy Snyder. You know who Stacy is? Stacy's my old boss. She was the CEO or the chairwoman of Fox Film. And I've been thinking about her. I'm like, oh, Stacy, when is she? Because we keep in touch. But I was like, oh, you know, da-da-da, thinking to myself. And I'm not kidding. Within hours, she texted me. I'm like, yeah, girl, you heard. You heard. I'm glad you're paying attention, lady.
In that situation, I would say that you were paying attention. You're like, oh, she's pinging me. She's pinging me. She just can't get to me. She's pinging me. She's
Damn
pinging
it.
Me.
I like it to be where I manifest. No, I actually think that I'm a receiver.
Yeah, you're definitely a receiver.
I think I'm a receiver. Yeah, I get everybody's stuff.
And actually, I had an experience of that just before we started recording this afternoon. Our mutual friend, Jimmy.
Yeah. Right. My gay husband.
Your gay husband.
One of my two gay husbands, yes.
And my brother.
They're yours too, though. They're your gay husbands too. You know, I mean,
he's that, such a love, right?
Or that Mormon show. What was that?
Sister Wives,
yeah. So we got sister husbands.
I get points for that one.
Oh my God, I can't believe what just happened. I'm so glad you gave yourself a round of applause.
I literally am setting up the equipment for the podcasting, and I have a 10-minute window to do this in my turnaround. And I'm like, oh, Jimmy, I need to connect with him. I wonder if I can do that in 10 minutes. And the phone rings and it's Jimmy.
Oh, I love it. He's a receiver too. He's definitely a receiver.
He was awesome.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, I just love him so much too.
Yeah, but this is, you know, the causation versus manifestation. Like, I think that's what the question was, the premonition, causation, manifestation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got off track of the actual question.
Just trying to bring it back.
We made it the Brenda and Julie hour.
Do what I do, and when we come back, we'll ask our next question.
Hi, guys. I'm Katie Lowes, actress, mom, and host of the parenting podcast, Katie's Crib, a show that helps women navigate the big shifts which motherhood can bring. This season, you'll hear from resilient mamas like actress Gabrielle Union, thought leaders like author of the New York Times bestseller Untamed, Glennon Doyle, and experts like prenatal and postpartum clinical psychologist Dr. Alyssa Berlin. We get candid about our experiences and share resources for everything parenting, endometriosis and surrogacy, divorce and blended families, emotionally preparing for postpartum. Katie's Crib is covering it all. for a dose of comfort and community with those who understand the struggles and the joys of raising tiny humans. Subscribe now for brand new episodes every other Thursday. Listen to Katie's Crib on the iHeartRadio app or on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. So I take the first two questions, my elf. Hey, you out center stage. So this question is perfect for my earthy elf because it has to do with the underworld.
Yes.
You ready?
Fuck yes, the underworld. I'm here for it.
You're a protector.
Yes, I am. I am your Black Panther.
You are a badass. Yes, you have the Black Panther initiation.
I am your Black Panther. One of these, we will tell you guys, we promise, just not right now, but we will tell you the story of the Black Panther. Just not today.
The question is, what are astral spiders? Are they real? And how can we protect ourselves from them?
Well, you came to the right place. Kinda. And I say kinda because I've actually never heard of astral spiders until you sent me this question. In fact, you're
we
like,
have the smartest audience right there. For
right?
Now.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good.
So the first thing I did was I took to Google and they're a real thing. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And I should probably get my underworld badge at least taken away for like a week so I can earn it back. But I should have known about these. So let me just tell you what I learned. So astral spiders, or they're sometimes called etheric spiders. I have to say, though, before I go any further, I have seriously not seen them, nor have I even encountered anyone who has. So this was very exciting to me. So here's what I learned. So, and I'm going to say allegedly to all this, because I can only say allegedly because I only read things or watched a few videos. So I don't want to say anything for sure, but this feels kind of right. That these spiders, so to speak, only exist in the astral plane, hence their name, astral spiders. They look kind of gelatinous is what a lot of reports have been. Some say they can only see them. And when they see them, it's when they wake up. So they're clearly, and I think that's why they're called either etheric or astral, because they only show up for a brief amount of time when someone has awoken from their sleep. And it's like 10 to 20 seconds that they see these things. In fact, there was a story of somebody who went to go stay at, I think, her in-law's house or something like that. And she woke up and she saw these spiders on the curtains, these gelatinous looking spiders on the curtains. And she goes and tells her mother-in-law, and she's like, yeah, well, that's why her daughter, so the girl's sister-in-law, would never sleep in that room because she said she always saw spiders on the curtains.
Okay. So if I were that daughter-in-law, I would be like, and we'll be staying at the Hilton down the street. Thank you very much.
Or sleep in your car. Better than staying in that like infested room.
Thanks, mother-in-law.
And right.
Your Christmas present budget just got cut.
Or Hanukkah. We don't know what they celebrate. So
they're going to be celebrating less if they were in my book.
So many say they can see them. But there's a big chunk of folks that say they can also feel them. And there was one particular guy, because, you know, we don't know anybody's name, like the guy on the plane or...
Jim.
Oh, Jimmy. We can't say that now because we just talked about Jimmy.
No, Jim is different than Jimmy.
It is different. So this guy named allegedly Jim reports that he could also feel the like spider webs on his face one morning when he woke up. So this is a very real thing for people. And they are considered by those that know about them as energy thieves. The energy that they talk about is the energy that we hold in our aura and also the energy along up and down our spine, including Kundalini. So this is specifically what I had read. Do you have a comment on that? Do you want to disagree with them?
It's usually Kundalini.
Whatever. Okay. So... God, every time. I can't get away with shit on this show.
You asked. I wasn't going to say anything.
I know, but I thought you asked. I didn't know you were going to correct me. I thought you were going to add. I didn't know that you were going to subtract. So here's what's the most interesting thing that I found about these etheric spiders. And I find this fascinating. And why I liked the question, because maybe other people have experienced this, because those that report these, I guess, experiences are new on their spiritual path. So many of them that I read we're all talking about, well, you know, I just started the spirituality and this practice and da-da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden, you know, they're dragging home with them, if you will, from their astral travel, these alleged spiders. The part that got me, that I like kind of just froze for a minute when I read that there was one guy. And by the way, you can read about all this stuff on Reddit, which to me, Reddit is a very fascinating place to get lost in. But he actually reported about how he enjoyed them after the initial shock. He, right? If I wish you guys could see Brenda's eyebrow, like I think it was your right eyebrow, went like up and pretty much hit your hairline. That was amazing. He said that he actually enjoyed them. I'm like, fucking weirdo. So here's my take. My take on these after, you know, kind of ingesting it and spending some time with it, that astral spiders are no good. That would be my take on that, that they suck. They are not good. It's not like they, you know, eat astral flies and mosquitoes like, you know, spiders do on the planet. It's not like they have a purpose in the overall ecosystem other than to scare the shit out of you. That's me working on my psychic humor. But if you happen to encounter them, you know what I would say to folks is, you know, practice, come up with a nighttime protection ritual. And nice. We've talked about these before. And nice. My ritual includes prayer. It includes gratitude. I like to burn things. So I got Palo Santo that I got going on. I got rocks. And I will tell you one thing I've never done for myself, but it is, actually I have. I've done it once. No, I've actually done this once. I've used salt. And the funny thing about salt is that there is somebody who did write on one of the chains that I read that salt will obliterate them, I think is what she said. It will melt them or something like that, these spider critters.
So remember, if they're on the astral plane or the etheric plane, which are two different planes, you can also just throw etheric or energetic salt. You don't have to have physical salt. Like if you become aware of them.
I like
just
that.
Bomb them with salt.
Oh, well, I have 50 pounds of salt in my house. So I can drown those fuckers and all the salt that I have.
Oh my God. That's awesome. You are hysterical.
But that's, I thought was such a great question. I loved it because I learned something new, and perhaps what that person did was just open it up for someone else to take care of themselves that maybe has been freaked out and experienced something like this.
And so don't forget your prayers of protection. And the other thing I want to say, just for regular spiders, not the gelatinous ones or the ones that look like jellyfish. But when a spider does show up in your dream state, sometimes it can be about writing. So maybe you should start journaling or begin writing or begin expressing your voice in some ways.
What do snakes mean when they come up in your dreams?
Snakes can, it depends on what state. Like, are they sloughing off skin? Like, it depends. Mm-mm. Depends. If they're curled
they're
up.
Crossing my path.
Crossing your path?
Oh, wait, I'm asking for a friend. They're crossing someone else's
path. I'm asking for a friend.
No, I think it's because I've been kind of obsessed with them lately, but I think it has to do with it is the season.
Yeah, snake season. Yeah, they're all coming out.
I think it's the season more than it's anything else for me, but yeah. And I want to protect my little pooch when we go on walks.
Yeah, well, that makes sense because you get some doozies where you live. So, in this way, I just wanted to have that be a distinction because sometimes spiders will show up either in your life or in your dream state. If it's showing up in a thematic way, you may be thinking about how I'm expressing myself and am I giving myself time to really speak my truth, and doing that through writing or speaking, it can be really helpful.
I love that. Thank you for that one.
Absolutely. And the other thing I would say is if you are new on this spiritual exploration and spiritual path, just because you come up with some little vampire sucky things like, doesn't mean to stop. It means that you're kicking up the energy and they're interested. And
you're being taught a lesson. Like, and we have lessons throughout our journey. And this is a lesson.
Double down on your protection. And you know, think of it as a high compliment. It's when people start impersonating you or dressing like you. It's a high compliment.
Of course you would say that.
I'm just saying, it happens.
Yeah, so I would say, like, knock those fuckers out of your realm and keep on trucking.
Yeah.
Keep
your vibe
way.
High. Focus on the high aspect instead of the low vampire-y stuff. So thanks for the question.
Sure. That was a great question.
Yeah, it was a great question. All of them were great questions.
Creepy,
thank you so much.
Great.
Thanks, listeners. Keep your vibe high and remember that Earth School is hard.
Without the other side.
Thanks. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And a special thanks to our producer, Maya Cole, who guides us while we guide you.
Hit us up on Instagram at OtherSideGuides or shoot us a note at OtherSideGuides@iHeartRadio.com. And you can even call us at 833-22-GUIDE to leave us a message.
We want to know what you think, we want to know what you know, and we want to hear your stories.
And remember,
Earth School is hard
without the other side. Insider's Guide to the Other Side is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Katie Lowe's here, actress, mom, and host of the parenting podcast, Katie's Crib, a show that helps women navigate the colossal changes that come with motherhood. You'll hear from resilient mamas, knowledgeable experts, and me asking a whole lot of questions. It's real talk that offers real perspective on what it's really like to be a parent. So join me. New episodes publish every other Thursday. Listen to Katie's Crib on the iHeartRadio app or on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you a fan of professional wrestling? Hey, my name is Battle. I host the pro wrestling podcast, The Battleground Podcast. Join me and my friends Eli, the Bells of the Brawl, Lena, and KB each week as we break down what's going on in the world of professional wrestling, from hot topics to interviews with some of the biggest names in professional wrestling. Roman Reigns, Charlotte Flair, Cody Rhodes, The Young Bucks, Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins and president of the NWA, and so many more. Listen to The Battleground Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.